Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
All right, get out your Bibles with me today. Please, if you don't have your Bible, get out your phone. But we are practicing the discipline of bringing our physical Bibles with us. Let's say this Bible declaration together. Are you ready? This is my Bible. It is the very word of God. Every word in this book is true. Inside this book is the very direction for my life, and I choose to follow it. This is my Bible, and I love it. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you're, maybe you haven't been around Hope City for that long, and you wonder, like, why is there, like, these random claps at the end? Because we started something a long time ago. On Sunday morning huddle, Sunday morning prayer service, when we say we get together at 9:15 for prayer every Sunday morning, and when we end our time of prayer and we say, in Jesus' name, amen, and we all clap, like, let it go. Pastor Shaq says, listen, you got to clap, otherwise it doesn't get all the way to heaven, yeah. Right? Is that what you say, Pastor Shaq? Yeah. You got to clap, or it doesn't get all the way to heaven. And so, like, that's just become part of our culture. So just join in. In Jesus' name, amen. There you go. Come on. So we are ending a series. We started a series last week. We're ending the same series this week called Everything to Lose, and I'm Willing to. And when we end any series this year, we tie it back to our theme. The theme for the year is now go. And listen, you better lace up your boots today, okay? And put on your backpack because it's time to ride today. And Jesus is going to challenge us about some things. And if you don't want to be challenged, I'll turn my back for just a minute and make your way out. Okay, I'm just kidding. Don't move. Because you're here for a reason, and Jesus wants to talk to you about something. So here's what I want you to do. First, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles or open up your phones to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to start in verse 18. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament, and we're going to look for the big number 28 that tells us our chapter number. And then go to the small number, verse 18. We're going to read verses 18 to 20 together. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. We're going to take this passage, this is our theme passage for the year, and we're going to tie this into the end of Matthew chapter 14. We've been in Matthew chapter 14 for a while now, okay? But we're going to tie this in to what is happening at the end of Matthew chapter 14. But here's what I want us to remember. As we talk about now go, and Jesus saying, now go and do the same things I've been doing. That's what he's saying in that verse in Matthew 28. Now go and do what I've been doing. Jesus did not intend for us to be hoarders of his kingdom, but multipliers of it. He didn't intend for us to just like take it all in and be like, ooh, this feels good. He intended us to take it in, digest it, put it into practice, bear good fruit, and then give that fruit to others. Do you see what I just did there? I took last year's theme and this year's theme, put them together, right? Because what is inside of the fruit? What's inside of fruit? Seeds, right? What do we do with seeds? We plant them. And what happens when we plant seeds? They grow the very plant, tree, that the fruit came from, right? And so When we take care of ourselves and we allow Jesus to heal us, nurture us, tend to us, and we bear the fruit that he wants us to grow, we then take that fruit and we give it to others, and that seed gets planted in their heart, and they start walking in their journey, and then what happens? They bear fruit, and the process starts over with them as we're starting the process again over here. Do you see how the kingdom of God was meant to be multiplied? Amen. And that is what it looks like to now go. Our theme this year, Now Go, has three pillars to it, like three specific parts. They are obedience, discipline, and sacrifice. And I know that is those are such fun words, aren't they? Like, we love it. We love it when someone says, and now you have to obey me. Right? Obey me. We love it when someone says, you know what? You need more discipline in your life. Doesn't that feel good? Listen, you need more discipline. We love it when someone says, listen, you need to sacrifice that. You need to give that up. Those are such easy things to do, aren't they? No, they're not easy. And it wasn't, the kingdom of God was not created to be easy. The Bible actually says that wide is the gate, wide is the road, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And destruction means hell. It is easy to go to hell. It is. It is easy. The road is wide. It is easy to follow. It is like, woo, this is so easy to do. The Bible says that narrow is the road and narrow is the gate that leads to heaven. That means this. It is not easy to stay on the path that was created for us. And that you were created to live with eternity with in heaven with Jesus. That's what you were created for. But it is not easy to follow that path. It takes obedience, discipline, and sacrifice. That's what it takes. And I'm going to preach this sermon a little different than I did in first service. So if you were in first service and you're like, hey, you're not kind of doing the same thing. I know God told me to change it up a little bit, okay? So that's okay, right? So here's the thing is today's passage in Matthew at the end of chapter 14 is honestly like this end cap on something that has been building up over chapters and chapters in Matthew from like Matthew chapter 8 on. And we're about to see the culmination of what it looks like to have obedience, discipline, and sacrifice. Emily, will you put up the map for me? And Emily, I'm going to tell you where to go because I know I'm going to like be all over the place, okay? So I'll tell you where I'm going to go, all right? So when we are looking in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, there's a lot of instances where it says Jesus crossed over the sea or crossed over the lake because this is the Sea of Galilee. Notice it's not an ocean, right? It's not actually a sea. It's a lake. It's a very large lake. It is big, okay? And there's many different places in Matthew where it says, and Jesus crossed over the lake to do this. And Jesus crossed over the lake to do this. And Jesus crossed over the lake to do this. As a matter of fact, there's like this highway on the lake where Jesus crossed over and crossed back over so many times. And I'm about to show you two very distinct things where Jesus crossed over, but the results of what happened resulted in like kingdom multiplication, okay? The very first time we see Jesus crossing over the lake is to come across over here to this area. This is an area called Gadarene. And this is found in Matthew chapter 8. It's also found in Mark chapter 5. And it's found in Luke somewhere too, but I don't know where. And that's okay. And it tells us that Jesus is crossing across here, and he meets this great big storm where the disciples all thought they were going to die, but Jesus was asleep in the boat. There's a whole message to be found there, okay? And as he gets over to this side of the lake, he's met by a demonized man who is crazy with demons. He is possessed with more demons than can be counted. And before Jesus even steps foot on the land, the demons that are inside of this man sees who Jesus is and says, "What do you want with us?" Because they already, they recognize his authority, okay? And Jesus immediately tells those demons to go, and they beg him, please, don't send us into the abyss. Send us into these pigs over here. So Jesus tells the demons, fine, go to those pigs. And the pigs run off the cliff into the lake and drown. And the herdsmen that see this happen are freaked out by this, and they run into town and they tell everyone what just happened. Meanwhile, the man who was delivered of all of these demons is now of a sound mind, and he hasn't had a sound mind in probably a very long time, because it takes a while to get that many demons there. So I'm sure it's been quite a while before he's had a sound, since he's had a sound mind. And he is in awe of Jesus. About that same time, the people from the area of Gadarene, which is right around in this area, hear from the herdsmen what had just happened, that all of their livelihood has just jumped off a cliff into the lake. And they come and tell Jesus, you need to go. Please go away. You scare us. We don't want to have anything to do with you. Please go away. Could you imagine telling Jesus to go away? Me too. Jeff said, done it. I'm like, me too. I think all of us have, maybe. Tell Jesus, hey, I don't want that. I won't do that, right? And so Jesus, out of respect, he's like, okay. And the man comes up to him and he's like, please take me with you. I mean, he's of a sound mind for the first time in decades. And he's like, I need to know more about you. Please take me with you. And Jesus says, no. Can't come. But what I do want you to do is to go. I want you to go and tell your family. I want you to go and tell everyone you meet about what I just said. Okay? The other story that we come across, that we're kind of going back in. And if you didn't hear the message in Matthew that we preached about the demonized man, go back and find it. It's on the Church Center app. No, it's not. It's on our website. Okay? Go back and find it. But then the next story that I wanted us to pick up in is on the other side of the lake. Put that map back up here. It's on the other side of the lake. And on the other side of the lake, there is this gathering of people. Jesus is there, and there's a woman that had heard about Jesus, and this woman had been suffering for many, many years with a bleeding disorder. And this woman was close to death, was as close to death as they come. And she has spent her entire income on doctors. In Mark chapter 5, verse 21, verses 25 to 29, we hear about what happened. This woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she'd gotten no better. In fact, she'd gotten worse. So she heard about Jesus, And she came up through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she'd been healed of her terrible condition. Now, that's kind of where the story ends, with this man and this woman. We don't necessarily hear anything else about them or from them, again, by name. But if we look at Scripture carefully, we can see how Jesus used them to now go and take his message, okay? What we do know, because Scripture tells us, is that the demonized man went and told everyone he knew about what Jesus had done. Not only did he tell his family, but this whole region here, like, and it goes all the way down into this area, this whole region had cities that was called the 10 cities or the Decapolis. And the Bible tells us that he went and he told everyone in that region. That's a lot of people, right? Well, here's what I can take from Scripture. At the very beginning of Matthew chapter 14, remember, these people, this group of people, had said to Jesus to what? Please go. You scare us, right? At the very beginning of Matthew chapter 14 that we started a few weeks ago, we know that Jesus had heard that his cousin, his best friend, someone that he knew from before he was born, was killed, John the Baptist. He's filled with mourning, and he knows he needs to get away and be by himself. And so the Scripture tells us that he went to the other side of the lake. Here's what I'm thinking. He's going back to this area where they said, please don't go away. Because he's thinking, they don't want me there. I can be alone. I can be quiet. I can go get away. And so, check me in Matthew chapter 14, the beginning. He comes over to this part of the lake where the last time he was there, they asked him to go away. And as he approaches this shoreline, it is filled with people. What? And these people aren't like, why are you here? We told you not to. They're like, hi, can you please minister to us? Can you please teach us? Can you please heal us? Hi. What's the difference? One man. One man. One man is the difference. One man's obedience, one man's discipline, one man's sacrifice. And now this shoreline is filled with over 10,000 people waiting in expectancy for Jesus to show up. And even in his grieving state, Jesus is like, here, let me tell you about my Father. Let me tell you about my kingdom. You know what? You're hungry. Let me feed you. Let me take these 5 loaves and 2 fishes and bless them and miraculously provide food for over 10,000 people. Do you see? The power of one man's obedience, discipline, and sacrifice was spiritual sustenance for over 10,000 people. My obedience doesn't mean anything. It's just me. What if he would have said that? Then over 10,000 people would have missed the message of Jesus. Do you hear me? Do you hear what Jesus is saying? Your obedience matters. Your discipline matters. Your sacrifice matters. It matters. Then, here's what we're going to, where we pick up at. Today, we're ending this in Matthew chapter 14. I'm just going to turn there. Matthew chapter 14, in verse 34. They're going back across to Gennesaret, right up here. They're going from here over to here, okay? Matthew chapter 14, verse 34. After they had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. When the people recognized Jesus, the news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the whole area. And soon, people were bringing all of their sick to be healed. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe, and all who touched him were healed. Does that sound familiar? Who had touched the fringe of his robe? That woman who was bleeding. How did they know? How did they know that if they touched his robe, they could be healed? Well, my only conclusion would be, she told them, right? She told them. And so as he crosses back over, they recognize that's the man. That's who she told us about. Maybe we could be healed too. And they were. So how did those two people, that demonized man who was delivered and that woman who was bleeding who was healed, how did they model obedience, discipline, and sacrifice? Well, here's the first thing. They had to obey when it didn't make sense to them. Obedience will rarely make sense to us. When God asks us to do something, I'm sorry, but even as children, I raised four kids and I watched my grandchildren like be told to do something. And my grandson Hudson is like, why? But why? It doesn't matter why. Because I said so, right? I mean that's your inner feeling. Like, because I said to do it. Because we want a reason. Tell me why. Just like Hudson wants a reason. Why? And listen, I'm very gracious and I always give Hudson a reason. Why? God is not always going to give you a reason as to why he tells you to do it. It's good. That's true. He's not always going to give you a reason because he wants you to trust him. He wants to build your faith. Your level of faith is so important to him that sometimes he's not going to tell you why. He's just going to tell you to do it. And it's going to be your choice. Those two people, that man and that woman, didn't quite understand the obedience that Jesus was asking of them. The first, the woman, her obedience came before she even got to Jesus because the Holy Spirit is telling her, just go find Jesus. She's already like given up on life. She's almost dead by this point. She is suffering like no one has suffered before her. And Jesus, like something inside of her said, just go touch Jesus. It doesn't make sense to her. She spent all this money on doctors. What can this one man do? But yet I got to do it. It doesn't make sense, but I'm going to do it. That man wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus said no. But you go and tell everyone else. Well, what am I supposed to tell them? I was crazy with demons, and you healed me? Yep. Yes. And now how do you feel? And now what's going on in your life? Okay? Obedience is a gift. It's offered as a gift to increase our faith. Plain and simple. And the only way our faith grows is for us to take that step of obedience. It's true. We have to obey what doesn't make sense to us. Secondly is this, they had to be disciplined to go no matter how far or how long. Discipline is not a one-time thing. That man, can you put that map up again? That man had a lot of area to cover. Do you hear me? Like, a lot. Gadarenes is right up in here. And then the Decapolis is all this air. That's a lot of land to cover by foot. Because during this time, that was the main mode of transportation, was by foot. Unless you were wealthy and owned a horse. This man had spent years running around naked in a cemetery. I bet he wasn't wealthy, right? That means he is doing all of this by foot. That takes discipline. It takes a long time. And introducing any type of spiritual discipline in your life is going to take time. It's going to take repetition. It's going to take fortitude to be like, I'm going to do it even when I don't feel like it today. I'm going to spend time in my Bible, even though I didn't really understand what I read yesterday. I'm going to go ahead and read my Bible today. I'm going to go ahead and spend time in prayer today, even though I actually don't have much time. But it takes discipline for spiritual habits to fall into line, plain and simple. And discipline has to be something that we're willing to do no matter how long it takes. Here's how long it takes: forever. Until we die, we have to be walking in discipline. Discipline is created with repetition. That's it. And the last thing that these two people had to do was they had to sacrifice their probable initial response to rejection. The reason I say probable is because there's no biblical foundation for what I'm about to say, okay? All I'm saying is I'm a human, they were human, and so I can say that as a human, they might have had these same feelings. And that is this: the woman had been rejected and treated as an outcast for decades. Why? Because she was bleeding. She was considered unclean among the Jewish society. The Jewish society didn't want to be tainted by other people's uncleanliness. That's why if you had a skin disease of any type, you were sent to like outside the camp, outside the walls of the city you were living in. There were encampments for everyone with a skin disease. This woman was bleeding from an area that made her unclean. And she was considered unclean. That means she had been without human touch for decades. Okay? I think she had some feelings. Nobody even likes me. Nobody even wants to touch me. You're disgusted by me. I could assume that she might have some feelings about telling people and talking to people about what Jesus had done. Why would I talk to them? They haven't talked to me for 25 years. I don't know how long. I mean, it was just a while. I don't know. Years. Why would I go up to them? The last time I tried to talk to them, they're like, get away, unclean, unclean, unclean. No, she had to put her own feelings of rejection aside because she was carrying something within her that they needed. They needed the knowledge of the healing power of Jesus. And she had to put her own feelings aside. The man asked Jesus to go with him, and Jesus said, no. This is like, hey, Pastor Paula, do you want to go out for lunch today? No. That's what it's like. Okay? I'm not comparing myself to Jesus at all, okay? But that's, here's this man who just performed this amazing, this man was spiritually healed, and he's like, oh, I'd really like to spend some time with you. And Jesus is like, nope, can't. Okay. And I'm sure he walked away with a little bit of feeling like, well, what's wrong with me? Well, 12 men were in that boat with you. What makes them better than me? Am I not good enough? Am I too messy? Am I not messy enough? You just like your clique, and that's who you choose to spend your time with? Like all those things. Ever have those things run through your head? But if he would have acted upon those feelings, listen, if that man would have acted upon the feelings of rejection, the very thing that he had just been delivered from would have had access to come back. If he chose to walk in unforgiveness, he had to forgive Jesus for not letting him go. I'm sure he did. If he had chosen to walk in unforgiveness, then all of those legions of demons would have had access to come right back to him. Instead, he was like, okay, I don't know why. This doesn't make sense, but I'll do it. I'll go. I'll step out. I'll tell people. Man, it kind of hurts my feelings that you don't want to spend time with me, but that's okay. This isn't about me. I'll go and tell people. Man, this is a lot of ground to cover. I am tired. That's okay. I'm having the discipline of going, and I'm going to do it. Do you see what I'm getting at? Our obedience isn't going to make sense. Definitely sometimes not to us, definitely not to other people. Our discipline is going to take time and repetition. Our sacrifice is going to cost us everything, even our feelings. But the end result on both sides of the lake was thousands of people, tens of thousands of people learning about the kingdom. Are your feelings worth it? Is your discomfort worth it? How bad do we want to impact others for Jesus? He's asking us for obedience, discipline, and sacrifice. I'm going to ask everyone just to bow your heads with me.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.